two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. We could even say powered by KSLSports.com. At least that's what we were saying on Cougar Sports Saturday when
Absolutely.
I filled in this past Saturday. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here after the Utah Jazz 111-102 win over the Charlotte Hornets. I think everyone expected the Jazz would get a win. Even without Derek Favors and without Kyle Korver, I think everyone expected the Jazz to get a win tonight, and that's what they did. But they did struggle a little bit. Second quarter was not pretty. They put a lot of bench guys in the game. No Favors to go to. No Korver to go to. And the next thing you knew, the Jazz had only made one shot, like in the first, I want to say, almost 5 minutes of the second quarter. And then they put some starters back in, and everything was right in the world again. The Jazz went on a 9-0 run, and really, you know, it was pretty much over after that.
Is it Derek Favors appreciation night?
It should be. It should be.
I think when he's missing, you realize what you are missing when he's gone out of the lineup. So you, with all this talk about Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert starting together, blah, 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 where Derek Favors is extremely valuable for the Jazz is how Quinn's rotation has him in that second unit. And Derek Favors playing that center role in that second unit, his ability to score and his ability to rebound, his ability to defend and block shots, was really missed. Look, Epe does a tremendous job with who he is and what he does, blocking shots, but he's not offensively gifted.
Yeah.
He like Derek Favors is. I think even he would admit that. So you're missing that offensive punch inside that you're used to. Plus you take Kyle Korver away from the perimeter, and all of a sudden it's hard to find some offense with that second unit. They really struggled in this game, and this is where you start to see a couple injuries to some guys, even not even like, you know, star players like Donovan Rudy, even injuries to a Kyle Korver or a Derek Favors can have a tremendous impact on your team and how you perform, especially offensively. That was ugly. That's what I take away from this game for me personally, is appreciating what somebody like Derek Favors brings to this team, and also appreciating what Kyle Korver does as well, being able to come off the bench and have some firepower from deep and hit some threes and create some offense and spread the floor. It was a mess there for a little bit.
A little aside there on Kyle and also Derek. First, we all knew Kyle was going to come in and he was going to be a backup shooting guard, but that they got him for his shooting. And you can tell when he's on the floor and what he does for this team. I think there's not enough appreciation right now for Derek when it comes to accepting his role. He knows what his role is. He knows he's going to start the game. He's going to start the third quarter, too. But then he knows he's going to go in there and he is going to feast on the other team's second team. and he's accepted that role. He's loved this role. He's accepted the Utah Jazz. It doesn't seem, at least from the outside right now, that he's really bothered by it. He likes being in Utah, and he likes his role right now. And when Rudy goes down or has foul trouble, he seems to step in. Yeah, there's probably a little bit of a drop-off there defensively, but not much.
I mean,
Derek's a really good defender.
Rudy's the defensive player of the year, yeah. So naturally there is. And that overshadows what Derek does defensively.
So I guess what I'm just trying to say, Derek could be a starter in this league somewhere.
Just about everywhere,
yeah,
honestly.
He could be a starter in this league, but he's accepted his role and he likes this
team.
Well,
he's a starter at power forward. He's just not a starting
center.
I know correct. What you meant. Yeah. He's a five. He's a center, and he could start at center for 20 of the 30 teams in the NBA, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I misspoke there. But I just don't think there's enough appreciation, and I think what we saw tonight, at least in that second quarter, just like what you talked about, I'm just sitting there watching, and I'm like, oh man, did they miss Derek Favors? And you're right, there's nothing against Epe. Epe does fine, but Epe just, he can't rim run. He doesn't really have much of an offensive game around the rim.
Yep.
He does show a lot of hustle, so you like seeing that. And it's good that he's able to do that, but man, Favors is so valuable on this team right now, and it makes you think that the Jazz are probably going to keep him in the offseason too.
Absolutely. I expect them to pick up that option unless they think they have a shot at a big, big free agent, which I don't think they're out there. But back to Derek, in the month of March, he's averaging 14 points and almost 9 rebounds per game. He's had 4 games where he's had a double-double, and he's had 3 20-point games. You're getting 20 points some nights from Derek Favors. That's pretty impressive. He's playing really well right now. He's as healthy as he's been in a while. Obviously, this back spasm thing came out of the blue, and that's what back spasms do. I don't think this is going to be a long-term thing. But before the back spasms, he's been healthy, looks great, and he's playing great. And this is when the Jazz are going to be tough in the playoffs, when the game slows down, it's a half-court game, and you got Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert out there. And if Derek can play the way he has in March, in April and May, once he gets healthy again, then the Jazz can do some damage in the playoffs.
And if you're going to rest either of these guys, rest them now.
Sure.
Rest them against these teams. Rest them against Charlotte. Rest them against Phoenix, who's coming up on Wednesday. I know Sacramento's dangerous, and that could be a very dangerous game on Friday night. But still, I think the Jazz have enough firepower that they could beat the Sacramento Kings, and they can play it a certain way. Real quickly, though, in saying what we're saying right now about how the Jazz struggled without those two guys, Joe Ingles came out and said, you know, this team really is connecting right now, 70-plus games into the season.
The starters are out there a lot together, but I think the guys that come off the bench and then the guys that step up when we've had injuries are unreal, because it's a tough thing to do sometimes. Epe comes in every time and gives the same effort and kind of the same result as what he does when he plays more minutes. So, I think as a team we're in a good spot, but there's obviously still things we can keep getting better at.
So he says there's still things that they can keep getting better at.
Sure.
I really think that some of these guys off the bench, they're just meant to give you hustle. Yeah, if you get anything offensively from any of these guys that are coming off the bench, and I'm speaking about George Niang or Howell or Epe, any one of those guys, if you're getting anything offensively, that's like gravy. That's the bonus right
Absolutely.
There. They're just meant to give you hustle, and you could tell it tonight because those three guys combined that we just talked about, they made 3 shots out of 13. So, no, they didn't have it there offensively, but Quinn Snyder said he liked how this team, even the bench players, gave him good defense tonight.
We're being a little picky here. The Jazz won the game.
but there was that
rough stretch, and I think it was frustrating. I wasn't as concerned about the depth as I was appreciative of what Derek Favors and even a Kyle Korver can bring to this team, and that was my takeaway.
And Tom Osefolosha did have a good game tonight.
Yes, he did.
He came off the bench. It was funny. Someone asked him in the post-game news conference, and I'm talking about Quinn Snyder. They said, how about Tabo Sefolosha, best game of the season? He goes, well, best offensive game of the season. He says he's played really well for us, but now he's starting to round in after being injured. He's starting to round into an all-around player for us, and he had a great game. He was 5 for 6 from the field, 4 for 5 from three-point land. But Coach Snyder said he also drove to the basket early in the game, and that kind of set him up for how he was able to make those shots late in the game. If again, we're going to go here. If Tabo, and we talked about this way early back at the start of the season, if Tabo Sefolosha can be that other guy, that other bench guy, that other guy that you can count off the bench who can maybe score or just be a smart player and be healthy, this team is a very dangerous team going into the playoffs. And Tabo's probably got to be ecstatic, at least shooting-wise for tonight, that he played well and that he's finally healthy.
Last year, remember, Tabo wasn't there for the playoff run. So I'm going to be very curious to see how Tabo Sefolosha helps this team in the playoffs. This is a veteran player who's been in big games. If I remember right, I believe he played in NBA Finals with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's been there before, and now he's going to get a chance to play for them again, especially with Dante Exum probably missing the rest of the season with that knee surgery. You know, Tabo's going to be needed for his length and his athleticism and what he does on the perimeter as a defender. And knocking down some threes is going to help him as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Tabo Sefolosha helps this team offensively and defensively in the playoffs.
Former Lakers, Heat, Knicks coach Pat Riley, he always used to talk about his rotation. What was it? Play 8, trust 7. I think that's what it was. So I think we know who the starters are for the Utah Jazz. I mean, we know who those guys are. When Derek Favors is healthy again, he's going to be starting. So who are those guys off the bench that we're going to see in the playoffs? I think Tabo can be one of those guys as long as he continues to play consistently. I think Royce O'Neal is another one of those guys. I think Kyle Korver is another one of those guys. We're already up to 8 right there. Do you think it goes really beyond that? I think you could see a little Howell Neto.
I think that's probably that's where you're going to draw the line. I think that's it. Howell's going to get some minutes, but in the playoffs, I think you're going to see more of Donovan, Joe Ingles playing that point guard role when Ricky's not in the game. Howell maybe gets 5 to 10 minutes in the playoffs a game, but I think that rotation will tighten up by one or two there. And Howell may or may not get those minutes, but I think you're dead on with those guys that are going to get some minutes.
I don't want to gush too much about Donovan, but let's gush about Donovan.
Why not?
Oh, gee. Why am I holding back?
Okay, that's what everyone listening wants to hear, right?
My goodness.
How long did it take us to get to Donovan in this podcast? Shame on us.
Donovan Mitchell, 8 for 17, so just below 50%.
But
that's
good.
4 for 7. He was only three guys. There were three guys who made 4 or more three-pointers. He was one of those guys. He made 4 for 7 from the three-point line. He had 25 points on the night. But more importantly, you can see him evolving as a player. You tweeted out the dunk right before the half. I think what impressed me most about that dunk, well, besides the dunk itself, I know it wasn't the most rim-rocking.
It wasn't his cleanest
dunk. No.
But it was impressive.
But the thing that impressed me the most was he faked a pass that drew everyone over to one side, and then he dribbled a couple of times, and then he was able to, you know, dunk it down. It's just the fact, kind of like what Joe talked about, this team is so effective now that even Donovan Mitchell can make a pass like that, and everyone's just figuring he's going to Joe, he's going to Tabo, he's going to Royce, he's going to one of those guys who can make a three-pointer. And he's able to then, because of his speed and because of how good he is, he's able to then get into the lane and throw a dunk down. Not the cleanest dunk of the world, but still throw a dunk down because he shouldn't be able to do that. Everyone should know that he loves going to the basket, but because this team has been so effective passing the ball, he's able to do that.
Well, effective in shooting the three, too. And
Cleon,
this is the most important point of this, the three-point shooting. So why are the Jazz shooting more three-pointers? Well, number one, because analytics tell you to shoot more threes.
Yeah.
So there you go for that one. You're going to win more games if you shoot more threes because by shooting more threes, you're going to make more threes. You end up scoring more points. You're going to win games. But two, it allows spacing. It spaces things on the floor. So if you have guys on the perimeter like Tabo, and Kyle Korver wasn't in there tonight, but when he's in, and then Joe Ingles, those are three guys that can shoot 40% or better from the three-point line in their career at some point. So you've got to guard those guys. You cannot let them be open. And so Donovan's up there playing with these guys on the wing and then Rudy inside. They've got to protect Rudy for the lob, right? So it's just Donovan one-on-one. So if Donovan can get the defense to respect those three-point shooters, he can use that pass fake or a shot fake because he's a three-point shooter as well all of a sudden he's got room to play in the lane, and then you have highlight reel dunks like that that happen. Or he goes to his Euro moves and he gets a crazy layup like he did tonight as well. So he's got this arsenal of moves now that he can use once he's able to get into the paint. And he's able to get into the paint and do things because other teams have to respect the Jazz as three-point shooters. That wasn't always the case in the past. The Jazz didn't always have deadly three-point shooters out on the wing. They do now. And, you know, with Tabo, that's an interesting X factor for them when it comes to that, is having that other three-point shooter they can bring in there. So that makes the Jazz more effective in allowing them to open up the floor. Donovan can do his thing. Guys are going to get open looks in the perimeter, and then Rudy's going to get open looks underneath. Pick your poison is what I'm saying.
I've said for a long time that I think Donovan should be the, I'm going to say it in air quotes, I'm using that. He should be the lead guard for this team, kind of the point guard.
Yeah.
The more, you know, it's interesting. The longer this goes on, I'm not sure that's his best position. I think he can do it for short periods of time, but I think actually still his best position is playing the off guard. Does that mean they need to get a bigger point guard? Eh, possibly. But I just, he is so effective being aggressive going to the basket, and that includes passing the ball. But I still think him going against some of these guys and being able to get some of his scoop shots, his dunks, and everything like that, I'd like to see him as a lead guard someday, but I'm not sure that's necessarily what needs to happen in the next year or two.
I mean, he's got to be ball dominant. It's interesting you bring that up on a night when Ricky Rubio was awesome.
Oh, yes, he was. He was tremendous.
You're
13 assists on the night for Ricky Rubio,
and
by the way.
Here's the most interesting stat by Ricky is he had 11 assists and zero turnovers through three quarters. He had three turnovers in the fourth quarter that blemished that record. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that John Stockton used to do. And that was really impressive. And the knock that I mean, I've been critical of Ricky on the podcast about his turnovers and being a little too turnover prone. Well, here we are. We're 2 weeks from the playoffs, and Ricky has a game where through three quarters he had zero turnovers. And you saw what his energy brought to the game for the Jazz. The second he went out in that first quarter, we saw what happened, right? But then he goes back in with the rest of the starters, and then order is restored. I thought Ricky was fantastic tonight. And I think it's important to point out when he is fantastic. He got guys involved. The ball was moving. There was an energy out there with him. And he wasn't turning the ball over. And that really helped the Jazz tonight. When Ricky's playing like he did tonight, then this conversation about Donovan Mitchell needing to be the lead guard kind of takes a back seat. But unfortunately, we haven't seen it enough from Ricky, so that conversation exists. And it still exists because the debate is valid. Is Donovan Mitchell more effective when he's more ball dominant, when he's pushing things, when he's the lead guard? That's a difficult decision that this organization is going to have to make in the offseason because Ricky Rubio is a free agent. And is Donovan Mitchell going to be ready to take on that kind of responsibility? Do they want him to take on that kind of responsibility? Is that the most effective way for him to play in the NBA is being a lead guard and you know, call him a point guard or whatever, lead guard, whatever you want to call it, being a ball dominant guard? I don't know, but we'll find out this offseason. I think they'll answer that question by the way they build the roster next year.
Let's go back to Ricky. Someone asked him after the game, are the Jazz playing their best right now? Because the Jazz have now won 10 of 11 games. I believe it's now 5 in a row that the Jazz have won. They're playing well right now, and so they asked Ricky, hey, is this the best the Jazz have played this year?
Probably. It's true that the schedule has been a little easier, but a win is a win. So in this league, it's hard to get 10 out of 12, out of 11. But like I said before, like, we don't care about who we're playing. It's about us playing the level that we want to play, and I think we're reaching that level.
Does he sound like a coach? We're only worried about us. I feel like I'm dealing with coach speak right now.
Well, it comes from Quinn through the whole team, through his point guard. Which, you know what? I know we all get tired of that stuff, but you know what? That's the correct approach. You can't get too far ahead of yourself in this league. And he's right. He's absolutely right. You know, the Jazz are taking advantage of a soft part of the schedule. But look, it's all balancing out, right? Because at the beginning of the year, the schedule was brutal. And we're seeing the opposite in Oklahoma City right now, where the Thunder had just an easy schedule for the first 2-3 months of the season, and now they're paying
Paul
the price.
George was carrying them. Now he's
absolutely
not playing that.
He's running
that
out of gas.
MVP player.
Well, yeah,
because
he's playing tougher opponents. And then they're so, it's almost like looking in a mirror, in a reverse mirror, Jazz and Thunder, because the Thunder are having the same struggles that the Jazz had earlier this year right now, where they have these tough losses against really good teams, and then they have to turn around and get ready emotionally for another game against a team like Dallas, and they fall flat like they did Sunday. Look, if you're a Jazz fan, don't take these wins for granted, because we saw what 2 weeks ago the Jazz lost to the Hawks. The Jazz have had a couple bad losses this year, and just on Sunday, the Thunder lose at home to the Mavericks. The Spurs, who have a lot to play for, lose to the Kings, and Popovich gets kicked out. That was in San Antonio. I mean, all these teams are getting knocked off by teams that aren't going to the playoffs. So while you expect the Jazz to roll these teams, you can't take any win for granted. And the fact that the Jazz are taking care of business right now and are dominating these non-playoff teams is a good sign, and it's not something to be taken for granted, because even the best teams in the league have had issues with it. The Warriors lost to the Suns this year. It happens.
Yeah. And speaking of a team that did not lose, and I thought this might happen tonight. By the way, it's Monday night after the game. I thought that maybe Portland,
yeah, I did too,
might succumb to Minnesota, because Minnesota went on this huge run and actually took a lead going into the fourth quarter, and then the Blazers then had a nice run, and they win over the Timberwolves tonight. So the Jazz are now still two games in back of the Blazers, only 5 games left. Blazers are going to play the Denver Nuggets a couple of times. Jazz are going to play the Nuggets after they play the Blazers a couple of times. So it's looking more and more like the Jazz could maybe play the Rockets or maybe play the Blazers. My opinion, I think Jazz fans got to hope that they're going to play the Blazers.
Oh, yeah.
Two reasons. Yusuf Nurkic is out. CJ McCollum has not been completely healthy. And third, Enes Kanter. I just want Enes Kanter to come and be a starter in the playoffs against Rudy Gobert here in Salt Lake. I don't care if the Jazz have home court advantage or not. I just want to see Enes Kanter here in the first round against the Utah Jazz. That will be gold, and security will have to be ready too.
I'm with you. That would be epic. And there's no way the Utah Jazz lose to a team that has Enes Kanter starting on it in a playoff series. There's no way. But I will give the Portland Trailblazers a ton of credit right now. All the adversity they've faced in the last week, and they continue to win ball games. And a lot of these games they're winning right now have been on the road. They went through a stretch where they had 4 straight games on the road. I think they went either 3-1 or 4-0. They are playing really good basketball right now without Nurkic. They kind of rallied around all this stuff. And Lillard didn't even have a great game tonight, and they still found a way to win.
I guess that's the fourth reason I'd love to see the Blazers play the Jazz, as I'd love to see Damian Lillard come back and play here in the state of Utah.
And Rodney Hood stepped up and played really well for them tonight and scored. He was their leading scorer. So that Portland Trailblazers team is interesting. It's like a wounded animal. But, you know, they're going to fight. And that I think that's what we'll end up seeing is a Jazz Blazers first round series.
Oh, that sounds like
the schedule shakes out with everybody. I don't see the Rockets dropping from 3, but that's possible. It could be Jazz Rockets, but we're really locked into that. Although the Clippers are right there. The Clippers are a game behind the Jazz. So, I mean, you can't write the Clippers off either. If the Jazz and Clippers, that's the last game of the season for the Jazz, that could determine playoff positioning one way or the other. It's crazy how this is going to shake out here in the last week and a half.
I don't think this is going to happen, but it is still plausible that the Jazz could play the Blazers in the first round and they could play the Nuggets in the second round. Now, is it going to happen? I don't think so, because I think the Nuggets are going to face the Jazz. They're going to face the Blazers twice. Those are three teams that are two
and
teams right
there.
And they
still have the Warriors, too.
And they still have the Warriors, too. So I don't think it's going to happen, but it's kind of plausible. The Jazz, actually, there's a path. There's a window out there where you could say, you know what? They might make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, if things shake out the right way with the seeding. I just can't see the Warriors not being a 1 seed.
Yeah.
And I can't see the Jazz not being a 4 or 5 seed. I can't see them getting up to 3 with the schedule. I can't see them falling to 6, even though the Clippers are right on their heels. It just feels to me like it's going to be 4-5, and who knows? It depends on how the Jazz do in those final two games with the Nuggets and Clippers. But isn't it interesting that we're a week and a half away from the playoffs, and we have no idea?
Yeah.
Even 1 and 2 are up in the air. It's crazy. The West is nuts this year, and I love it.
I also like that the Jazz, for the third straight year, could be the 5th seed. And I think for the third straight year, they could actually move on, even though they're not going to have home court advantage.
I agree.
I think there's a confidence there because they've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
They did it against the Clippers, and that was a little weird because you thought they were going to finish it off in six games and they had to go to seven, but they still finished it off. And then last year, they kind of manhandled the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Same thing as the Clippers series. They should have won game five in Oklahoma City. They gave up that 20-plus point lead. Yeah, but both series, they were clearly the better team. And looking back on it, we say that with these, but at the time, it's crazy to think that they were.
Last thing I want to say as we're getting ready to wrap up the Jazz Notes podcast, Kemba Walker goes off for 47 points in this game. A week ago, they gave up 59 points to Devin Booker in what I still call the Jimmer Fredette game. But anyway, is that concerning at all that they're having trouble with these guards? If there's one problem I think that the Jazz may have, and the reason why you want to avoid the Rockets, oh wait, you still got Damian Lillard. I mean, it's just a little troubling to see them give that up. Now, granted, two different teams, two different games. I think the Jazz would be able to figure it out against a good guard like Lillard. Maybe against Harden, I don't know about that. They'd be able to figure out how to handle him, but concerning to you at all as we're getting ready to head into the playoffs?
No, because these are, like, look at these games. I mean, they're games where, if you look at the rest of the team for the Hornets, who else scored? I mean,
a minute, Jeremy Lamb.
Okay.
23 points.
Okay, I didn't even notice. So, and a lot of the points that Kemba scored were late in the fourth quarter when the game was kind of out in doubt. I mean, similar with Devin Booker was just chucking. I mean, it had no bearing or any difference in the game. If the Jazz were allowing these kind of numbers to guys in games where it was really close and they actually lost some of those games, I'd be very disappointed and very, very concerned about it. But the way those two games went down, it just seemed like those guys were stat stuffing. And that happens in the league. And at that point where these guys are in the, Booker and the Suns obviously not even in the playoff mix, the Hornets are a long shot now to make the playoffs. I get it, I thought it was funny that Jazz fans were chanting, "We want Kemba." He's an unrestricted free agent summer. So
yes, he is.
Maybe it was an audition by Kemba Walker tonight, and if it was, he knocked it out of the park.
I don't think the Jazz should.
Or I should
Kemba
say
Walker.
It was a slam dunk.
Oh, very nice. Except for Kemba usually doesn't slam. But that's Donovan Mitchell point. Does. Hey, yes. if you want to see some highlights from the game, make sure you check out KSLSports.com. Got plenty of highlights on there from the Utah Jazz's win. Jazz now go to play Phoenix on Wednesday, and then they have Friday against Sacramento. That's going to be an interesting game here at home. Jeremiah, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
We covered it pretty much. I can't believe the playoffs are just 2 weeks away. It's almost there, and this is going to be really fascinating to see how it all shakes out, and then the fun begins. It's my favorite time of year.
Oh, yeah. Me too. All right, that's been the Jazz Notes podcast after the Jazz's 111-102 win over the Charlotte Hornets. More coming up later this week. We'll talk to you soon.